Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place for everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we have another special guest, actually second time now on our podcast. His name is Neil, and he's the CEO of Voltage Holdings, where they specialize on everything that's to do with really understanding how to scale brands on Amazon. They have acquired a series of brands, and throughout that expertise, you know, a lot of the things I'm going to be discussing today with Neil on the episode is about what is working, what is not working, you know, how some SaaS solutions out there combined with AI is really changing the game, and how you need to be on top of this. If not, you know, your competition is definitely going to eat from your business. So, Neil, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, man. Pleasure to have you again for a second time. Very excited. So for those that might not know you, just give us a brief introduction about you and the company, and let's go from there.
Sure, man. Well, I've been in the e-commerce game for quite a long time, about 18 years now, specifically in the private label branding side since around 2012. Basically, you know, I'm public school trained and dropped out of college. So take this interview for what it's worth. But we manage brands across multiple channels, everything from Amazon to TikTok to Shopify to even retail. We've got over 20 million in management now, companies we own or directly control ownership and management of. So when we talk about the things today, hopefully that we get into the weeds on, I'm talking to you as an actual seller in the trenches today with operations that are managing and growing brands. And then I help a few people along who want to join me in my mentoring and discipleship, which is pretty limited. It's an interview process and stuff. And then I take some people and help them explode their brands as well and help them get the growth and scale necessary to exit, because we're also in acquisitions. So we kind of build that business to the end. And we are not an aggregator per se, because I'm looking for very targeted strategic brands, typically 10 to 20 to 50 million in size, than an e-commerce business. And we look to grow those with folks within 5 to 7 years, and then you know, look for acquisitions of those companies within my group as we help them train and build. So I become the beginning and the end. So I just want people to kind of understand a little bit what's different about Voltage maybe than the world of outside. So I keep very busy in the operations. So a lot of people don't even know who I am, which is fine. I prefer that to just stay busy in building the businesses. And that's me in a nutshell, man.
Love it, man. Thank you so much for the intro. So I guess let's, you know, dive into, you know, today's conversation, which is, you know, the topic around, you know, especially with your expertise around acquisition of brands and managing all these brands. Like, you're seeing everything that is happening in terms of the changes in the industry when it comes to AI, when it comes to SaaS solutions that are really changing the game at the speed of, in terms of how you research a product and bring it to market and all those kind of things. So tell us, what are some of the things that, you know, I'm making you very excited in for what is remaining of 2025 or what is coming, you know?
Sure. I'll try to speak to the range. I know there's not everybody that's got businesses over 10, 20 million. Yeah. And the management ones we have are different in terms of conversation about scale and management of volume. And then there's the ones where, like, you know, startup 250,000, 500,000 a year that are on their way up. And we can kind of talk about the range of things. But ultimately, in the end, what I need people to understand is there's a factor that so many people forget in the building process or even in the optimization process of their business. When some people are in that stage, they're currently selling maybe 500,000 to 800,000 or so a year. And they're still in that like building optimization stage. Maybe they haven't broken a million in sales yet. It's a big mark. And there's a lot of things that occur in your business, as well as these platforms. Once you get above a million in revenue, profitable revenue, as we talk about here, you got to have more than 20% net profit in your business. I'm going to carte blanche stick that out here right from the very beginning, right? Or a path to get there through optimization. It's very critical you do that. But there's a lot that's changed in the process of determining what makes a great product from its data, not just the product from its physical form. So I want people to kind of think with me for a second in reverse, because a lot of people get on and be like, you need to build the world's best product and you need to innovate your product and you don't want a me too product and these kinds of things. And I'm like, that is very critical. And it's sort of always been an understanding. Like, if you're going to get in the physical product, don't sell crap. So like, that's just, let's call that a known, a common sense known. But what is not a common sense known is the way the systems and algorithms have changed to purely data-driven brand growth now. And in the last 3 years, if we shifted all processes and systems and SOPs and operators and launch strategies to align with the change in what is now Cosmo and even Rufus, as the AI systems have adapted and grown, we're seeing that shift already respond today during product launches we're doing right now in like the last 4 weeks. And anybody who wants to see that can go to my Facebook and follow along, because I'm posting it literally in real time there, so you can follow along with me in full transparency, right? I don't know if you saw that or not, but that's...
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it's actually very, very interesting. Yeah.
Keeping people like understanding what's going on and what's actually working and how to overcome that. One of the bigger things people are missing that are, you know, existing entrepreneurs or those who might be aspiring to get going, is they're missing how critical it is that you understand the data by which these audience, these engines, you know, you call them AI, but there's different names for different ones. TikTok has its own internal name, mm-hmm. and social media, you know, Instagram, LinkedIn, et cetera, they all have our variations that are growing. And Amazon, of course, has their Cosmo. This audience intersect is now your marketing engine. If you train it incorrectly, it'll be a C player. If you don't understand what levers to pull, it'll never become a B player. And everybody wants it to become an A player, but doesn't understand what it actually needs and wants from you in order to understand that you're the A player brand in the data, not even the product, right? Let's get this backwards, because everybody screws this up, man. You got to get this right. If you don't get these systems to understand your product and exact audience intersect avatar, some of you might know the language from like Facebook intersect audience and stuff, you've programmed that engine to believe something about your product that you literally will have a super difficult time changing unless you burn that ASIN and start over again. And so we've had a couple of ASINs recently that in products that were doing really well ended up with some issues. And we had one ridiculous situation mm-hmm. with a DCMA takedown request, which was a complete attempt to hose our business. And we got it back online. Amazon was like, sorry, you're right. This is a stupid thing. You proved you own the brand, blah, blah, blah. Definitely. And then 4 months later, this jerk off did it again. He's using a system he has access to as a contractor, which I'm not sure how he got access to that. And he's abusing that power. Bad actors in Amazon, yeah. Right? And so he's done it again. And we went right back to Amazon. We hammered them to the wall. We got legal involved. And of course, they put it back online. We're sorry. There was a bad actor, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm going after this guy now because he jerked around with my business twice.
Yeah.
But those kinds of things happen. So what we learned in that process, which was both a negative and a positive, was the impact difference of now attribution changes that have occurred with this platform. And they just recently, within the last 90 days, rolled out an attribution change within Cosmo that I don't think everybody's aware of. So hopefully you're listening to this and hear me when I say this. They moved out of a 90-day attribution window and into a 12-month attribution window. So you have to realize what happens when your ASINs get damaged from reviews or bad actors, or you stock out, or there's negative impacts in your conversion rates from a bad campaign or off Amazon traffic that didn't convert right or whatever screwed up the system, okay, that you have a very long window to prove that you're the better product. So when we ran into that problem, we made the difficult choice to pull that inventory out. We burned that ASIN and we started over again. And when we started over again, we re-optimized the listing to Cosmo standards, okay? We retrained the listing on the new standards. We got Rufus to understand exactly what it was, and that thing is shot through the roof.
Relaunch, I know. Right? I know.
Right. So you may find people that some of the times the optimizations of your business are a little more dramatic than you're willing to accept through, conversion change hacks, change your listing, change your image, change your copy, change this thing, retweak this thing, you know, optimize. You can pull every lever on that brand ever that you ever heard from, every growth hack from 10, 12 years of experience, whatever, and you will find it will not change fast enough because the attribution window has changed.
Yeah. Now, I have a question regarding this, because this is something that is, I mean, first of all, thank you for bringing that up, because yes, I'm aware of this attribution. Most people, I'm telling you, most people
don't have any clue that it's happening.
I jump on calls, they don't have a clue, and this is important that we put the voice out there about this. But I think going back to what you're mentioning, which is really being very intentional with, you know, what the product really stands for in terms of the lifestyle, what is the avatar, the persona, and all of that. So you can actually reverse engineer that into some kind of optimization in terms of your copy, your images, and even your PPC. The issue we're encountering is that most people actually don't even know what they're actually going for. Like, what is the actual avatar? Who is the kind of ideal consumer? So I guess from the expertise that you've been acquiring through, you know, all this kind of journey of scaling brands, like how you even define this persona in the first
place? Oh, I know exactly who they are. And so none of my brands sell outside of this avatar. And I'll tell you which one it is, because guys, there's something happening else we'll get to in just a second where, you know, having been in the game for long enough, hitting my first seven figures in 2015, I can tell you that I'm seeing a change in the business, the opportunities with Cosmo, and the way that the tariffs have negatively impacted about 30% of the market that's fallen out, that we're seeing huge opportunity, okay? So in response to the levers and the metrics, what you're finding is that the intent or customer intent for that data is the most important factor to determining that the audience in engine, okay, what is known as Cosmo, understands very clearly the definition of the avatar that you have in order to ensure that it aligns with the greatest demand on Amazon. And I will tell you that the greatest demand on Amazon is spending $69 in average order value. Thus, if you have a $29 product, guess what happens? Depends on what happens, right? You are not in line with the mainstream image engine that is Amazon. You're also suffering in profitability at $5 to $7 in net profit per unit, and you will not overtake my brands. You're just not. And there's a whole lot of us who figure this out over the last 10 years. And so if you're going to try to compete in this market at the opportunity cost of entry, you're going to have to change the model by which you understand the business. And then you're going to have to adapt your brand to now elevate to that model. And then, of course, your profitability and upside potential will now be in a line with what is literally the mass amount of traffic moving through that business. And it is right in the center. And here's where it's at. Women 27 to 40. I don't sell any product outside of women 27 to 40. They are the 80% of the buyers. They are the highest conversion metric. They've already done their questions, comments, pre-perceived notions, and information gathering long before they reach the platform. And when they see our product and it aligns exactly with three benefit structured statements that are tied, hear me when I say this, tied to customer intent language that matches a customer need that I have discovered in my years, and we put it into our platform, this customer need, there's 103,000 customer needs. You and I both know there are millions, if not billions, of keyword opportunities, and they've taken this entire engine of data and condensed it down to 103,000 customer needs, and I know which each of those needs are, and those needs are defined by the intent of that audience, women 27 to 40, and what they're willing to purchase or intended to purchase before they even know what it is. And when you get in line with those three things that they intend to think, your listing is purely optimized with Cosmo. And here's a pro tip that so many people screw around with. Ready? Do not start ads on your account for the first 10 to 21 days. I know it's hard to resist that urge to start advertising on your platform. Here is something else we discovered along with the attribution differences and the customer need intent that this engine is driving towards. And that is the attribution change in the window has changed the way the data from the algorithm looks and ranks at your product. And I know a lot of people are going to go, well, where's your source? Prove this. I have a lot of experience and a lot of brands running right now that tell me exactly what's happening, right? There's no white paper on this, so I can't reference it. But the end result is this attribution has changed the way the algorithm ranks the initial first 20 to 30 days of your product. And if you do not optimize to Cosmo's intent engine with a customer need specific intent of your listing top down, completely optimized all the way through, you're not going to get the rankability without paying for it. And if you don't discover you're starting to rank and influence impressions, clicks, and even sales in that first 10 to 21 days of letting the listing mature inside of this engine and let the algo determine how your product looks and ranks. When you add PPC, guess what it does? It's burned your ASINs. It's burned them. From now on, you have to pay for that traffic. And the moment you start backing down your traffic or trying to optimize your 30% ACOS, which is a total straw man argument in the space of Amazon, by the way.
I know.
And you start to, you know, try to tweak that, what you're going to find is your sales start to dip off the backside. And you're like, what the heck? So now I got to keep my ad spend up and I have to keep spending more to stay where I'm at. Well, you have literally forced the engine to say, I'm willing to pay for that data you would have given me organically, and we're happy to take your money because we're going to be the most profitable online advertising engine by the end of 2026, which is what they have told us. Right?
Yes.
You guys are feeding that machine a lot of money. You don't need to do that. So listen, you have to get right with the engine from the very beginning when that ASIN goes live. You have to let the Cosmo engine help understand what your product is about from the very beginning. And you have to see the impressions, clicks, and even sales returning organically. Okay. Before you put on one campaign, you mess that up and you have to restart the whole thing. I don't think everybody understands that, man.
Yeah. I think to double down on that, I think the mistake is like a lot of times when people launch the pros on Amazon, they have the perception that, oh, I'm going to have time along the way to optimize and make it better. So I'm just going to start with what I have and bootstrap along the way. But what they don't understand is what you just explained, which is once you start building a negative history towards a specific niche and how customers perceive your product in the first place, then it's going to be very difficult for you to steer the ship in the right direction. Back,
man. Once upon a time in the A9 engine, when we got all the white papers, long time ago, before they took it all offline, they had what's called an IDQ score. And that is basically gone now. The IDQ score was based on 100 on your ASIN, and then it goes down from there based on how it sees your data in this engine compared to the other products. Well, I'm just going to call it the Cosmo ranking ID because at this point we don't know what to call it, but there's a score it's now attaching. And as it determines how close an existing audience it matches your its understanding of your product and your alignment with that will determine the overall opportunity for that brand, for that product. Get that right. Okay. And I got three launches going right now. And as I encouraged everybody, go check my Facebook. You'll see how those three launches are now churning $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $7,000 a day. And we're just now moving $50 budgets to $100 budgets on those campaigns with like 30 to 35% ACOS. Our target goal is a TACOS of around 15%. And all of the metrics now align with those brands becoming 100, 500,000, a million a month in the next 24 months. It's just in the data now because the data has proven the products, you know, are there. The product support is good. And of course, I built great products. So I'm not that concerned that people are going to be leaving negative reviews because the product is not good. It's actually really good. That was a huge component of why we spent so much time getting the product right, along with getting the data right. So it really gets down to, again, what the heck do I sell? What you need to understand is you're selling data to an AI engine now. You've got to get rid of that other thought process that's been in this business, and you've got to get rid of the keyword idea process, and you got to get off the search term idea, and you got to start thinking customer need, customer intent. If you are not in alignment with that, you're going to miss out on a super amount of opportunity that I literally haven't seen since 2013, because those 30% of people that left opened up huge holes in markets where there are no longer a secondary good competitor to a primary brand that's currently
right. It's a huge gap.
Yep. And they need a second competitor. Well, I got a whole list of those customer needs and intents with secondary competitors. And we're deploying millions of dollars this fourth quarter to go after those guys because I'm riding that slingshot, right? And you have to look at that data and the numbers. So again, and I don't sell, just so we're clear, because people may ask this, I don't sell products that are less than $50. Our products average between $100 to $500 in price point. I know some of you are going to cringe when you hear this, but you know, that gives me the profitability necessary to, you know, take the opportunity to let that product ride and then properly apply a really strong eight-figure PPC strategy. We've partnered with Sophie Society, and we have a very strong process by which we've trained up these AI engines and things to really do well with PPC. And when you do it right on the backside, you know, these things go like crazy. And it's the opportunity. It's also a change in the opportunity cost. And I know that's what's hard for a lot of people to hear.
Yeah. Now, I think a lot of people is hearing and watching this right now. They're definitely asking themselves, like, this is definitely something I need to take action and start moving as soon as possible when it comes to executing across my brands. But a lot of people don't even know what is the first step. Like, let's be honest, people like us, we have, you know, we might have the internal tools, we have our teams, we have the resources, but some sellers, like, they, you know, they might not have that luxury. So for people like, you know, the solopreneur that's now selling on Amazon, how they can protect themselves against it?
Yeah. So when you look at your product, there is a specific outcome that the engine is sort of looking from that intent on. And we can play a little game here real quick to kind of make an example of this. So if I say the words row, row, row your your mind literally can't not say the rest of the lyrics. It's literally ingrained in a common sense, common logic understanding of the lyrics of that song that we all know since our kid. And there's an intent behind the song. And when I start to sing it and stop, you literally know the outcome that was intended when I stopped singing it. That's a simple way of understanding these engines. If I have a product that has a specific need, an outcome, an intent, I need to be able to tell that engine in my copy and in the reading of my images that it understands the row, row, row side, and it can go, oh, you mean in your boat. So it has an intent understanding that the product that you've created has intentional outcomes, at least three intentional outcomes that the algorithm itself will understand that you meant. Those we sometimes call them use cases, right?
Yeah.
That the product can be used in these three ways. And the most important thing for you to understand is you need to stop and understand what are the three most intentional outcomes of my product. And if I know what those three intentional outcomes are, I need to restructure my listing so that the intent of the outcome is read by the engine without me actually saying it in the copy. Or the images themselves, right? The images can lead to an intentional understanding of the outcome of the product without you just going on there, use as directed, right? Like people are like, you're too literal sometimes, folks. And you have to understand that this engine is thinking like 20 people all at once or 2,000 people all at once, or even 2 million or 15 million, if that's your audience. And it's thinking about all 15 million of those people. And it's basically trying to understand what are the fastest ways to get that product in front of them in 30 seconds or less and have them go, that's exactly what I want. So you can start thinking and executing those three intent questions that lead to the AI understanding that is the intended outcome of your product.
Yeah.
Does that make sense in the way I said that?
Yeah. I think actually something I want to add on top of that is like the intent behind buying a product in the first place is not only happening from a consumer's perspective, which is what we've been discussing so far.
Yeah.
Even on the ads side of things with Amazon Marketing Cloud, that's where ads is heading. The reason why Amazon is giving you all this data about their persona and how they behave is because they want to make sure every single time you're spending money, you have the highest chance of success towards converting them towards a sale, because now you know what Vincenzo has been buying for the last 30 days, as you mentioned, or how they are really triggered because of specific lifestyle, specific kind of team, right? So now if you, that's where Amazon is definitely moving from traditional keywords, which I agree, they're not anymore the way of winning on Amazon, to understanding how to reverse engineer the mind of your consumers in the first place.
Yeah, and who's your consumer? In my world, it is now the AI algorithm. It's not the end user. I need the AI algorithm to understand. to know exactly what an intent outcome of that product is, because its engine is looking for the millions of people to put together as fast as possible that matches its understanding. So the actual end customer is not my customer, the engine is. Okay. When does it become my customer? Well, on Amazon, it never does. We should all know that.
Yes, exactly.
It becomes my customer when they repeat buy. It becomes my customer when they become part of the brand, when they're not, the product works and they like it. Even if they don't leave a review, they don't return the product, but they tell other people about the brand. That's when it becomes my customer, because ultimately that person will go look for my products everywhere online, not just Amazon. That's when they become my customer. So everybody's so worried about, well, Amazon doesn't have your customers and they call it Scamazon and all this other crap. And I'm like, you don't understand the power of economics on the online world now, and how all these engines are talking to each other to basically create that halo effect everywhere they go, which is why when we have a successful product launch that looks to a test market that looks to a successful product launch, when we're going to double down on marketing and inventory to scale this product, that's when we move into another system and we go to TikTok and we look for the demand creation component to allow these systems to talk to each other so that more of the online algorithms understand that avatar that's been really pre-programmed into the Amazon infrastructure. That's the trick. We pre-program that infrastructure to understand who we are. And then as it talks to the rest of these systems, they're like, oh, got it.
Yeah.
We know what you are. We know who you want. So then when we make the videos on TikTok and whatever, people are like, oh, I got it. I know what that was. I know what this is. I already understand it. And then they don't like it. They go to Amazon and buy it. And now between integrations, they'll just buy it through TikTok. Boop.
I know.
They'll get it from Amazon. So yeah, I think there's a lot of things we've unpacked here. I want to try to keep it as simple as possible for folks who are listening.
I know.
but it's
but that's the future. I mean, I know it sounds complicated and sounds sometimes confusing, but I think it's important for people to be aware that that's where we're heading. And if you're not on top of it, you're going to be left behind.
What the heck do I sell? Yeah. In simple terms, comes down to understanding what the algorithm wants you to sell it. Give it what it wants and you win. Fight, resist, growth hack your way into some place that you think you can trick the algorithm. No, man, those days were gone. Those days were 10 years ago. Those are very outdated strategies. If at this point, you have to get the algorithm to love your product first. You win that game and you can overtake all the other sellers in your niche, right?
Yes.
You get that game wrong and you're fighting that battle all the way through any build or optimize. And with that, the system will literally help you scale.
I agree.
Okay. It really will. When you get in line with what it wants, it will help you scale. And the last bullet point on our conversational list about this topic, you have to create more inventory. I know this is so hard for people to grasp. Okay. When we know that a product launch has done a market test successfully, and we're ready to move to another 1,000 units of that product to go from revenue to full profitability projections, okay? Not just because we think it's going to be here next year, but because we want to project every quarter, can I turn that inventory over 4 times a year? Very important. I want to turn it over 4 times a year. I want my product minimum ROI to be 50%. I want my minimum net profits above $12. And then I want to turn that inventory 4 times a year. So I'm going to another 1,000 units to prove that I can hit that metrics, right? If I can hit that metrics, guys, you have to understand that's where the engine takes over.
I agree.
Not because I did anything super brilliant, but because I did what the engine wanted me to do. And when I proved the data, the real opportunity is to capitalize the inventory. If I can out-capitalize you in this business, I'm going to win. This is where people can't. They have such a hard time grasping this concept, because some of you guys have come to me and you got your businesses running along 6, 7, 8 months. And you're like, well, what do I do to fix this thing? It won't go faster. And I'm like, you got to get more inventory, but I don't have any money. Well, then you can't be resourceful, or find the resources, right? Find the resources or whatever it takes to do it, because that's your opportunity. You have to capitalize. When you feed that inventory machine, it's now checking AWD, it's checking the FBA, and it's finding out, can you grow at the speed of the demand of your current customer base inside of Amazon? If you can meet that demand and capitalize that inventory, you're going to win. You're going to win because you're now converting better, you're in line, your metrics are all better, and people are like, well, why am I not selling 7 figures yet? Well, how much inventory you have? Well, I got like 1,000 units. I got 5,000 units. How much inventory is selling in a year? Well, I don't know. So I go over to my system and I pop it in and I find out exactly how many units are moving a year inside that node. And I tell them that's how much inventory, and their head goes. And I'm like, that's what you have to do. I have to get 10,000 units in stock minimum over 90. I'm like, yeah, because that is the current.
That's right. Thanks.
Of the velocity of demand currently being met in the system by Amazon's own data. And they're like,
it's hard to grasp. I know.
It's terrible to hear that, but that is what I'm willing to do and have been willing to do that others have not been willing to do once I know the product is working really well, right? When it's completing its cycle through, you know, positive reviews, positive churn, positive metrics, I'm going to go capitalize. You do that well, like one of my students just did. He capitalized $1 million of inventory credit line that he used over 3 years, that in years 4 and 5 took him over $17 million a year. He's got an offer on his business now. Yay for him. It's a good offer on his business, right? But he did something others were not willing to risk. He pulled down $1 million credit line from the growth of his business in order to allow that to occur. A lot of other people could do the same thing.
Yeah. It just takes the mindset and the courage to it.
It takes the courage.
Yeah.
Okay. It takes the risk. And I have failed big in life. I went bankrupt once. I don't know, I told this story a lot, but yeah. I mean, I had the girls here and they were all very young. My wife was pregnant with our fourth daughter and we went bankrupt, right? I had a screenshot on my Arvest as I walked out of bankruptcy court with $567 to my name as I had to reset my life. Well, I'm not speaking from a position of privilege. I'm speaking from a position of a lot of hard work, a lot of risk, a lot of reward, and a lot of failures that have occurred in the process to get here. We don't manage more than $20 million a year because we haven't failed at something. Exactly. Right. And I think a lot of you are holding back in your success mindset because you hear these things, but then you don't do anything with it. Right.
Exactly.
So we will remind everybody today, do something imperfectly and something perfect will happen along the way. Okay.
Love it.
You don't have to be perfect, but you have to understand if these are the levers you have to pull in your business. Then you pull them and come hell or high water, legally, morally, and ethically, go get the financing. That is a lot of your opportunity costs for current Amazon sellers who are missing the upside potential because they are not willing to take that next risk on the, well, I don't know if it's going to sell, Neil. Well, how long have you been selling it? For a year? How many units have you moved? Well, I've sold more than like 5,000. Then you could sell 15,000. You just don't believe it. But if you were to inventory up, I guarantee you it would happen. And that's your last opportunity in these businesses. That's how I can go to scale in 3 to 5 years. That's how my target is a new brand that hits 5 million in 5 years. Every brand is built to exit. Every brand is started with growth and scale in mind. Every brand is set up so that it will capitalize itself in years 3 through 5 through credit lines or capitalizations in the business, because it now has the history and the upside and the potential. And then I'm taking it to an exit, which I'm also part of the exit. We have a group called Patriot Growth Capital. And in there, we are hiring and building up a veteran-based business to support veterans and their families, both in and out of the military or in transition, to give them purpose and opportunity and jobs for themselves and their family. And that's our business as a mission opportunity. As we build these companies up and help clients get them to a saleable asset, we look to acquire them. We have first right of refusal. I'm looking for a buy box. And when I hit them, you know, they hit that buy box, we look to acquire them. We just did that with one of the client brands. We got another one coming up. It's about a $10 million a year brand. And then we just finished an acquisition on one. I'm traveling out Sunday to go say hi to the team. And you know, as we're taking control. So yeah, this is a fun business model.
I know. it's amazing. I mean, I love it. Just the reality of, you know, the stress that it brings. But at the end of the day, which is what we discussed on today's episode, is if you have the right execution, the right mindset, and you know how to stay ahead of the curve, like, is if it's something that, you know, can be achieved. It requires hard work, like everything.
It requires that, work, what we call time, energy, attention, and money. And if you would allow me, not in any grandiose way, to shout out the book real quick and let you give 10 copies for free. Man, let's give away 10 copies for free to anybody who's listening, because that's the strategy by which I'm explaining my execution, and we'll get you a copy of the book. There'll be a link and a that you guys can use to get a 10 free copies for everybody who grabbed it. That is the output of the strategy from a build to exit, and in there are 15 chapters of resources and information and case studies that have happened, that are ongoing. And then most recently, if you go to my Facebook, just type in Neil Twile, you'll find me. You'll find out where we're currently launching these brands, so you can follow along there. And if you grab my newsletter and stuff like that, we've actually got something big coming up, Betano. Mm-hmm. We got a SaaS launch of our Greenlight dashboard by Cayman Intelligence Data. That's our business. We'll be launching that soon. And if anybody's on my newsletter, which is a free newsletter, we got over 10,000 Amazon folks following along there on our updates and stuff, then pretty shortly we'll have that in the market for people to discover and build and optimize their own brands. And it's a complete platform. It's not just a product research tool. It's a fully optimized Cosmo driven product platform for management, building, and optimization of the products.
Cool, Neil. So, I mean, thank you so much. As usual, you drop always, you know, gold content. So I appreciate it. I'm going to leave all the information down below so people can find you. And other than that, you know, looking forward to hopefully see you soon at one of the upcoming events. Appreciate your time, man.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, man. A pleasure. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by EcomC. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomc.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomc.